Bibles with me to Genesis chapter 49, please. And I need your prayer tonight. Please pray for us. Genesis chapter number 49, and we'll do our best to preach the message that God's laid on our heart for this hour. And we're using verse 13 for a reason. I don't want to preach a verse and depart therefrom, but there's a first mention in the verse. And I chose it as a text verse for the message tonight. Genesis 49, verse 13, Zebulun shall dwell at the haven of the sea. He shall be for a haven of ships, and his border shall be unto Zidon. Now may the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his word. Of course, in this text, Jacob has called 12 sons together. And I can read verse number 1. And Jacob called unto his sons and said, gather yourselves together that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. So there's a prophetic word that he's called. He's at the point of death. He's about to leave this world and go to heaven. And so he calls each son in. And he gives them a prophetic word. These 12 sons represent the 12 patriarchs. And so he gives them their future. And I'm talking about their lineage, their family, their line of who they are. And you can go through these things. And there's a reason that the Lord does what he does through each one of them. But Zebulun is kind of he's a quiet son. Don't hear much about him. He's actually, I think, the youngest son that Jacob had with Leah. And there's not a whole lot about him. I feel like he's probably a quiet man. And, didn't get in a whole lot of trouble. But the Lord just simply had Jacob say this, Zebulun shall dwell at the haven of the sea. Now, a haven's a harbor. It's an inlet of the sea. It's a safe station for ships to get shelter and to come in. And so, and I don't know, I know in the end times that his borders get larger all the way up to the Mediterranean, but I'm not sure how far they are at the minute, but yet he was coming up, his border was coming up to a sea, the land that he was given, and he was simply to be a haven. You say, preacher, and this ain't the message. Preacher, I don't seem like I have a big calling of God. Folks, Zebulun was a haven. In other words, he was just somebody that helped other people. God put him in a place for ships to come in and find refuge and find help. And folks, sometimes you might be the one that may not be outspoken, and you may not be big up the ladder, but yet God is using you in that ministry, in that capacity, and just say, praise the Lord, I'm doing something for him. Amen. But yet we find the first mention of the word ship here. I wasn't thinking about it till I got to studying that yesterday was the 113th year anniversary that the Titanic sank. Amen. April the 15th, 1912. At 2:20 a.m., the world's largest and most luxurious ocean liner sank into the icy depths of the Atlantic Ocean. Some 1,500 people that night lost their lives. Lloyd's of London said there was only one in a million possibility that would ever happen. Boy, did they miss it. Amen. So that's a ship that we all have heard of. But there is four ships that I want to preach about tonight. There's four ships that are important to the Christian. They're important to the Christian life. And I'll give them to you tonight. And I'm going to give them to you and be finished. Of course, the first one, and this has to be first, I want to talk about sonship. Amen. Y'all know where I'm going now. Amen. I want to talk about sonship. John 1:11, Christ came into his own. The Jew and his own received him not. Then verse number 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. The Bible tells us we put saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. At that moment, we become a child of God. The basis of sonship from God's perspective is faith in the finished work of Christ. The Bible said those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Romans chapter 8, verse number 14. And I'm thankful that we have eternal sonship. I read this. I want to make sure I get it right. Jesus is the Son of God by eternal generation. Listen to that. Jesus is the Son of God by eternal generation. I am a Son of God by spiritual regeneration. Amen. Amen. Right. Ye must be born again. And I know this is on a Wednesday night, this is simple, but you never know who needs to hear it tonight. Ye must be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Amen. And it's always going to be that way forever. Nobody gets a free pass. Nobody's good works will ever outweigh their bad works. That's an impossibility. I know some religious folks would want to say, I've never done anything bad. Hey, you transgressed the whole law by just offending in one point. And we've done that over and over and over in our lives. And most of us probably have offended at more than one point. And every time we offend the law in one point, we're guilty of it all. So I promise you, your good works will never outweigh your bad. Therefore, the law shows us the hopeless cases that we are outside of Christ. But I'm glad we're in the Easter or the resurrection season. And I preached twice about the resurrection already today at the nursing homes. And I'm glad, praise God, we believe the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. He died. He didn't go unconscious. He died. If you don't believe Christ died, you don't believe the gospel. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. It's still the gospel. Paul told them, if Christ be not resurrected, then wait, our faith is vain and we are still in our sins. Had Christ never resurrected, we are still, where's our hope? A dead Savior can't save anybody. That's why Muhammad can't save. That's why Buddha can't save. That's why Confucius can't save. That's why Joseph Smith couldn't save. All these men are dead. Dead men can't save dead people. But he was dead, but he rose again the third day. Bodily over, hey, victory over death, hell, and the grave. And because of the gospel of Jesus Christ, you and I was made a way to be saved. Amen. Amen. Are you saved? Amen. Do you know the Lord? Amen. Are you born again? Can you stand and give an account of the hope that lies within you? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. At the drop of a hat, I can do that. Yeah. Amen. And it's biblical. The gospel was preached to me. The Spirit of God convicted me. And I yielded in repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and called on the Lord and got born again. And I have sonship because of that. Sonship because of that. But then I want to go to the next one. And it may take a little longer than this. But we go from sonship and you'll see the steps that's being made here. We go from sonship, now we'll talk about lordship. A lot of people don't like this one. Folks debate this one, but it's taught in the scriptures. Right. Right. Preacher, what does it mean? Well, lordship means authority and power. Christ is Lord of all creation, having received dominion over everything. This lordship extends to the believer when we are called. We are called to submit and to obey to the authority of God. Folks, when Saul of Tarsus, who was Paul, got saved on the Damascus Road, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" About Acts 9, verse number 6. Immediately he submitted to the lordship of Christ. Paul immediately after salvation submitted. Christians, we are called to obey Christ in all areas of our life. In everything we do. That's why the Bible says, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and you let him direct your paths." Don't go off a whim or a feeling. Don't allow your emotions to move you here or do that or don't do that. Hey, in all thy ways, everything in your life, acknowledge him. That means you seek his will. You seek his face, and whatever he says, that we do. Whether we understand it or we don't understand it. So the question here tonight is this: are you doing everything the Lord has asked you to do? There's general rules for the family, and there's specific rules for family members. Get that now. Let that sink in. There's general rules for the family, and then there's specific rules for certain family members. See, the general rule for us, God said go to church. God said pray. God said read your Bible. God said tithe. God said witness. That's not something just for specific people in the church. That's for the whole body of Christ. Those general things that God said, you do that. And if we've submitted to the lordship of Christ, we don't have any problem saying, "Okay, Lord." But then there may be some specific things that God may call you to do. Preach. And a ministry or something. I could go on and on. But you know what I'm saying. So the question is, how submitted are you and me to the authority of Christ? That's the question. How submitted are we to the authority of Christ? This is one thing I say in love. If you're not submitted to the authority of Christ in the areas you're supposed to be, there's no way you're walking in the Spirit, and there's no way God can use you. Amen. The general commandments. God, hey, I can go a step further. God has general rules for dads. Christian daddies. He has general rules for Christian mamas and Christian children. Preacher, I don't think that's in the Bible. You need to read the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. He's got general rules for us submitting to the authority of our superiors at work. Amen. We're not obeying them to be men pleasers, but because God told us to do it. Now again, wife, if your husband tells you to do something that's unscriptural, you can say no. And vice versa. Nothing trumps God's book. And if your supervisor, your superior at work, tries to tell you to do something crooked, you can say no because he is superseding the word of God. But yet, if they are in line with what they're telling you, then to obey God, you have to do it without murmuring and complaining. Amen. Y'all didn't think we was going to get this deep, did you? So we find here that Lord means master, a person possessing supreme power and authority. The question is this. This is Wednesday night. Most of this church folks, are we doing it? Are we doing it? Are we submitting to everything the Lord has us to do? Are we submitting to His authority in our lives? Are we doing everything, or are we just, you know, are we just doing like Israel did? You say, well, that's a whole different people and a whole different dispensation. Well, Paul said the Lord put that in there about them for examples. And they rebelled against the authority of God. And even though they were God's people, they wandered 40 years and all they'd done was walked in circles. And I'm not trying to add to Scripture, add to put words in anybody's mouth, but I dare say there's probably some of them saying, why ain't we getting anywhere? Why ain't my family getting any better and stronger than the Lord? Why are we still battling and struggling? I tell you why. It's because you are not submitting to the Lordship of Christ in your life and doing what He said, and all you're going to do is a vicious cycle. And guess what? That first generation died doing it. Everything that God had for them, the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey, He already told them, I don't care how big they are, it is yours. And all they had to do was submit to the authority of God and do what He said, like He said, when He said, how He said, and they would have entered the promised land, every one of them, but every one of that crowd died in the wilderness. God's people never possessing the joy and the victory in their life that God wanted them to have. Help us, help us. Dear God, help us. God's people, listen to me, church. I love you. I love you. I love every one of you. God has blessed so many. We got so many, so much talent, so much abilities and so much potential. I want to see God take you and know what you live in Canaan's land. Not wander around in the wilderness. Amen. Just because you won't submit to what God said and won't do what God said. Live like God said, be faithful to God, live for God, be obedient to God, give Him first place and preeminence in your life. Hey, don't wander around in circles and die in the wilderness where you could be living in complete victory over in Canaan's land. I wonder how many of God's people through the years, through the centuries, have died never getting to the potential God wanted them to get because they wouldn't submit to the Lordship of Christ. They wouldn't submit to His authority in their life. They never would do it. I'm not talking about perfect people. They don't exist. But people that keep short accounts with God. People that, hey, they confess their sins and they strive daily to do what God wants them to do in their life. They take note. They take note of, hey, we're putting God first. We put what God wants from us as a family, as an individual. We're going to put what He wants, number one. Regardless if we understand it, regardless if, hey, your flesh ain't going to want it. That's right. Folks, I mean, I'll just be honest with you, and I hope I get some amens. I just assumed went to bed just before I come here. My flesh, I can lay down on this floor right here and be snoring in about 2 minutes. Y'all think I'm lying? Don't make me prove it. But God said go to church. Amen. God said go to church. Regardless, go to church. Folks, if we do everything based on how we feel and what we want to do, you'll never do the will of God. You'll never put God first. You'll never be submitted to His Lordship. Never. You never will. You never will. I never will. You never will. None of us never will. Folks, this message is for the church. Amen. Folks, we need revival. I need revival. I need a sin-killing Christian growing. I just need the devil preached out of me. Amen. And I want to have a renewed spirit in my heart. I want to get on my face and say, Lord, I played long enough. I've rose up to play long enough, and I want to be in the perfect will of God. And in order to get there, I got to put you first in everything. How you doing with that ship? Only two more. We have sonship. We have lordship. But then we have discipleship. I'm going to read some verses over in the Gospels quickly, if I can. In the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 16, beginning in verse number 24, talking about discipleship. Disciple is a follower, a learner of Christ, a pupil of Christ, if you please. In Matthew 16, verse number 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, listen, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. And there's other verses we could go to in this text, but if any man will come after me, the only way to be close to God is to do this. Let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. We'll never learn of Christ if we're not following Christ. Discipleship. Discipleship. Folks, that's, and I'm the pastor. I take responsibility for most of it. When these young people get saved, somebody needs to get them. Amen. And begin to disciple them. Man, that may be a new job for somebody. Amen. We used to have that book, ABCs of Christianity. It's just step by step. Just things that you and I would say, that's just elementary. It's not elementary until you learn them. Believer's baptism, why you got to be baptized? Coming to church, why you got to go to church? Tithing, why I got to tithe for? Studying the Word of God, memorizing Scripture, why I need to do that for? I mean, all those things. Yes, sir. Amen. Right. You babies come into the world, you feed them the sincere milk of the Word, or the sincere milk. And as they grow thereby, you give them stronger, stronger, and stronger. Daddy's, even we got more sense than start cutting up a T-bone and stick it in our weak old baby's mouth. Would kill them. We don't expect it, so we shouldn't expect young Christians to be able to eat meat of the Word. Amen. So, and this is another thing, we never cease to be followers of Christ, students of Christ, disciples, so to speak. That never ends in our life. Amen. We never stop learning. Right. Well, preacher, you mean there'd never be a time in my life I'll know it all? No, because the Bible's inexhaustible. Right. You'll never exhaust it. Amen. Charles Spurgeon lived to be in his 50s, and he went from one end to the other. He never exhausted it. Many great men and students of the Bible, I mean, their whole life was studying and preaching. They did nothing else. They had no. That was all that God had them do, study and preach. And they spent hours and hours and hours and hours, and they never exhausted, never stopped being a student of the Word. I told you the story about Dr. Seitler. He was going to a big conference, and he had a great, deep message. And on the way there, the Lord spoke to his heart and said, preach John 3:16. And his response to that was, he said, well, I've exhausted that text. Well, I'll let the young preachers preach that. A conversation, him and the Lord in the car. And he went a little farther, and the Spirit of God said, preach John 3:16 tonight. He said the same response. He said, I've exhausted that verse. He said, there'll be young preachers there. They'll preach that. He said the third time the Spirit of God said it, he said, yes, sir. And he said he got up, opened the text, and God just, I mean, of course, it wasn't no new revelation, but God brought some new things to his heart and fed the church from what he thought he had exhausted. You'll never do it. You'll never do it. But we should strive to know more and more. And to do that, we've got to be right disciples. Let me give you the last one. Sonship, lordship, discipleship, then stewardship. The Bible talks about, I think I may have this marked, and if I don't, I'm going to read it anyway, in 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 10. 1 Peter 4, verse number 10, the Bible says this: as every man hath received the gifts, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. It's required among stewards to be found faithful. Stewards. Stewards is one who takes care of the household of his master. None of it's his, but he takes care of it. He don't have ownership of any of it, but he takes care of it, and he strives to take good care of it. He wants not to be just a steward, but he wants to be a good steward. The area that the master has him taken care of his property, he wants to be good. Folks, I believe God wants us to be good stewards. I believe he wants us to be glad stewards and generous stewards. Stewards. Folks, none of this belongs to any of us. The ministry don't belong to us. The church don't belong to us. Nothing you have belongs to you. Everything we have, God has given it to us to use to be a blessing to us, but also to use for His glory. Money, material things, talents, gifts. He wants it all used for His honor and His glory. What kind of steward are you? What kind of steward are you? Where God has put, what God has given you is His. The call to preach is His. The talent to sing is His. Gift to teach is His. Hey, the gift of mechanic, the gift of the carpenter, the gift of paint, everything, hey, it all belongs to Him. Are we good stewards of it? Are we good stewards of it? Folks, you understand our children belong to God. They're His. What are we teaching them? What is our example in front of them? What are the priorities are we leading them into? Hello? Are we good stewards of our children? Are we good stewards of our talents? Are we good stewards of our money? Are we good stewards of that? Four ships. Four ships. And they're all important to the child of God. Sonship, do you know the Lord? Are you saved? Have you been born again? Do you know without a shadow of doubt you're saved? Lordship, does He have the preeminence in your life? First place, are you submitting and doing everything in general and specifically what He wants you to do? Don't be like the children of Israel. Put yourself first. Discipleship, we're ever learning. Stewardship, ever laboring for the cause of Christ. What kind of stewards are we? What kind of disciples are we? How are we doing with the Lordship? Are we submitting? He's first, whatever He says, do. How about those ships? Let's all stand. Courtney's coming. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one's looking on but me and the Lord.